Riders up!
This is Riders Up with Frank Lyons and John Gaver, your one-stop shop for all the information that you need. Let's get this party started. Here's Frankie.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's with sadness and heavy hearts that we start the show today because of what happened out at San Luis Rey on Thursday afternoon when so many horses perished. And it's just we've been hearing the stories and all the goings on, John, and you've seen it firsthand, and it's really tragic.
It's a horrible thing. Like we were talking before the show came on, as horse people, that's one of the things you fear most is a fire, and Southern California is just getting charred right now, unfortunately. Santa Ana winds and all kinds of brush fires. It doesn't take much for a lot to ignite, and unfortunately San Luis Rey bore the brunt of Mother Nature yesterday. And but the good news is you know, it could have been a lot worse. It can always be a lot worse.
Yeah, you know, they say that San Luis Rey, there's only 5 barns left out of that whole complex. Amazing, but it just shows on the positive side of this, we can show the resiliency of horse people and the love they have for their horses. And it's just shocking, the stories that are coming out of there. But on the show today, we're going to have Michelle Yu, who is the VIP manager of Bet America Racing Personality and all around horse lover. She was right there in the trenches. She was at Del Mar till the middle of the night last night, checking on all the horses, and just incredible. And I give everyone so much credit for what they've done, all this coming together. And it's great to see.
No doubt about it. It's a tight-knit community, horse racing industry, and the kudos to all the folks in northern San Diego who stepped in as well, and all the fire department and public officials. They did what they could with what they had. Yeah. And, a lot of those horses are safe now at Del Mar.
Yeah.
Of the 400 to 500 that were stabled there, I think only 25 so far have perished. So,
yeah. Well, that's incredible. Out of like, how many, 450 horses?
Something like that. Yeah. In that neighborhood. And there's a lot of prominent outfits there. Peter Miller, Phil D'Amato, Richard Mandela, I think, has a string of babies there. So, it's not like, it matters with all horses, of course, but there was some nice stock there running around loose on the ground.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It must have been like being an Armageddon. I seen the videos of the horses running by, and it was like watching an old cowboy movie from the 40s when they had a stampede.
No doubt about it.
And, to recognize people that were in there trying to get horses and jumping out of the way when 20 horses were fearing for their life, and the people fearing for their lives. And just an incredible, I think besides going to war, it had to be the most terrifying thing you'd ever been through.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'll be good to get Michelle's input, and she'll tell us how we can help out as well.
But then the show must go on, John.
Yes, it does.
The show must go on. Although we can't forget about what happened, the show must go on, and the show will go on, and we're going to switch to handicapping, because we all know that the show must go on, and we're going to take a look at the Los Al with their big day today, the Los Al Futurity, and I'm very proud to have the Los Al Starlet, and I'm very proud to say our sponsor, Cash Call, is the sponsor of the Cash Call Futurity. And then we'll also look at the Garland of Roses at Aqueduct today, and we'll do the feature race at Turfway Park. But before all of that, we got to get to Milena. Hi, Milena.
Good morning.
For some news.
Yes, thank you, Frank. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Approximately 25 thoroughbred racehorses perished, one horseman was hospitalized, and several barns were destroyed when a brush fire sustained by relentless Santa Ana winds consumed the San Luis Rey Training Center in Bonsall, California, on the afternoon of December 7th. In a massive evacuation effort, hundreds of horses were shipped to nearby Del Mar which has the stable capacity to handle the 400 to 500 horses stabled at San Luis Rey. We will take every single horse we can get, Josh Rubenstein, Del Mar's chief operating officer, told the blood horses Jeremy Ballin. We're open to anything with four legs. Prominent Southern California trainers Peter Miller, Doug O'Neill, Richard Baltus, Phil D'Amato, and Richard Mandela all have horses stabled at San Luis Rey. For individuals wishing to help, Thoroughbred Charities of America accepts donations online for their Horses First Fund. And you can go to their website at tca.org, or they can take donations by phone. Call 859-276-4989 for more information. Additionally, Sophie Shore, founder of the Nexus Racing Club, has also started a GoFundMe account to help offset costs accrued by the fire. Trainer Graham Motion tweeted, "If this was set up by @ShoreSophie, I am quite certain that it is legitimate. In fact, the fund, which is currently approaching approximately $20,000, is in fact working with Thoroughbred Charities of America." Finally, the National Thoroughbred Benevolent and Protective Association will work alongside other agencies to help all those in need. For more information, contact 866-245-1711. Five finalists for the prestigious George Wolfe Memorial Jockey Award were announced on December 6th, with the winner to be announced in February 2018, following a vote by jockeys nationwide. Alex Berzer, Javier Castellano, Jose Ferrer, Rodney Prescott, and Joe Talamo are the finalists for the award that has been presented annually by Santa Anita Park since 1950. The Wolf Award, which can only be won once, is named for jockey George the Iceman Wolf, who died at the age of 35 in a spill on the clubhouse turn at Santa Anita on January 3, 1946. The award recognizes those riders whose careers and personal character earn esteem for the individual and for the sport of thoroughbred racing. Winchell Thoroughbred and Three Chimneys Farms Gunrunner had his first time workout since the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic on November 4th. The Son of Candy Ride covered a half mile in an easy 51 and two-fifths at Fairgrounds in New Orleans, Louisiana on December 3rd, under exercise rider Angel Garcia. The Steve Asmussen trainee is pointing toward the $16 million Pegasus World Cup Invitational at Gulfstream Park on January 27th, which is scheduled to be his last start. And finally, Charles Sella, longtime president and chairman of the board of the Oaklawn Jockey Club, died on December 6th following complications from Parkinson's disease. According to his sons, John and Louis Sella, he passed away peacefully at his home in St. Louis, Missouri, surrounded by his family. He was 81 years old.
Thanks, Milena. Kind of news all over the place there.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
I'll tell you what, an award needs to go out to Leo Tapia and all those people down in San Luis Rey. But Leo Tapia was the groom that was videotaping. It had to be 45 minutes of evacuating horses, opening stalls. You see the reaction of all the horses, and of the bravery of Leo Tapia was just incredible, as is all of the people that were inside of San Luis Rey yesterday.
No doubt about it. And I saw that video. It was crazy. I mean, he only left when he couldn't breathe anymore. You could hear him choking as he was running out of the shed row there. And probably saved hundreds of horses by eyewitness accounts and social media posts. So definitely a tip of the cap.
I'd like to say my thoughts and prayers go out to the Sella family. Charlie Sella was a great character of the sport and a guy that'll be really missed.
Yeah,
and actually, the day that we were fortunate enough to win the Breeders' Cup, Northern Spur won the Breeders' Cup the same day, owned by Charlie Sella. And that was the first time that night we both celebrated together.
Yeah, he knew how to throw a good party. He was pretty good friends with my grandfather and really an innovator of the sport. Huge promoter, Oaklawn Park was his baby, and he will be dearly missed.
Yeah. So we'll get onto some handicapping, John. Are you ready to do some handicapping?
Should we maybe take a little break first and pay a couple bills, and then we'll come back and knock out a couple of races?
There's bills to be paid.
Bills to be paid. We'll be back here on ESPN Radio 1300 here shortly. Thanks for tuning in.
Coolmore America's Uncle Mo continued his remarkable start at stud when Motown won the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at Del Mar 2 weekends ago. Motown is Uncle Mo's 4th Grade 1 winner and one of 14 graded stakes winners. All in all, Uncle Mo has sired 33 stakes winners from 3 crops of racing age. That is an unprecedented haul for a young stallion. Back in his racing days, Uncle Mo was a brilliant 2-year-old that excelled around one turn at 3. Another horse that fits that description is Practical Joke, who was 3rd in last week's Grade 1 Cigar Mile before retiring to Ashford Stud. For more info on Uncle Mo and Practical Joke and other Ashford stallions, go to www.coolmore.com.
Welcome back to Riders Up here on 1300 AM in Lexington, Kentucky, ESPN Radio. Frankie, you want to do some handicapping? I know that you are sitting probably close to a pool in South Florida, while I, on the other hand...
I'm sitting by the pool in Lexington.
By the pool in Lexington, nice. That's,
only
an Irishman would do that. No, that's... how are things down in Florida?
We have the Starless today and the Futurity at Los Alamitos. The cash call Futurity. And so let's start with the Starless.
That sounds good. The Phillies, little two-year-olds for $300,000, going a mile and a 16th. Who'd you like in there?
You know, like, so Mario Gutierrez, he ends up on the 5-horse, but that's the because he's stable jockey for Paul Redham. And Kyle Frey gets an excellent opportunity on Paidi Bianchi. I don't know if I butchered that name. I'm sure I did. I think that the 2-horse Paidi Bianchi, or I don't know how you say that. How would you say that, John?
Paidi Bianchi.
Paidi Bianchi. Yeah, you got that Italian woman sitting next to you. That's how you know how to say that.
It's. I think it means white foot in Italian, no less. Oh. So maybe this one's pretty flashy. Got some chrome on him. Maybe a couple of white feet.
Yeah. That's very much could be. $80,000 2-year-old purchase early on this year. She's grade 1 placed. She was 2nd in the Del Mar debutant, beaten a half length by Moonshine Memories, and then beaten 3 lengths in the Chandelier when going 2 turns, beaten 3 lengths by Moonshine Memories. But then she was only beaten 5 3/4 from the 8 hole in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She drew 8 of 13. She'd beaten 5 3/4. Wonder Gadot came out of this race to win the Demoiselle very impressively.
Yep.
She was immediately behind Paidi Bianchi. You know, looking through the form, I see that I see a lot of promise, but I don't see anything that has quite the resume that Paidi Bianchi has. And Kyle Frey aboard, I believe that you may, because, you know, people don't, you know, they don't pay too much attention, and they might be like Mario Gutierrez thinks that Simon Callahan's Yesterday's News is a better filly, but I can't imagine that she is a better filly, really, when it comes down to the running of the race.
Certainly got a seasoning edge on a couple of the morning line. Low odds horses, the 3 Dream Tree at 8-5, the Uncle Mo Billy, they paid $750K for Bob
Adam
Baffert.
Fleet Alex Mare, she 2-2.
Won a stake in her first start against winners. Drayden Van Dyke knows her pretty well, was up for the first 2 wins. And then what about the 4? Is this horse going to run? That's kind of a question mark. Was working down at San Luis Rey for Peter Miller.
You know, that's so I'd love to ask Pete, you know, about not only like is this filly War Heroine going to run, but how's his, you know, how's the whole barn like? You're so shook up after, you know, something like this happens, and then you've got to go into a race. And I would say the War Heroine was up at Los Alamitos to school. You know, you usually bring a horse up 3 days ahead of a race or 4 days ahead of a race, let him school, let him have a look around. and get to know the territory. So I'd be fairly positive that War Heroine missed the going on Thursday afternoon.
Yep, that we hope so. We're kind of a nice out of the box win there, especially by a filly by Lawn Row out of a War Chant mare, one for fun, sprinting on the dirt, earned a pretty high buyer speed figure in there.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about her is that she only cost
$37,000. Correct. Flavian Pratt to ride. That horse is a little interesting. I do like Pieti Bianchi's kind of seasoning and, you know, exiting three grade ones here. And, I mean, I know this is a grade one race, but it ran kind of a sneaky good race in the Breeders' Cup, I thought. And you're going to get a pretty decent price on her, I think.
Yeah, because with Kyle Frey aboard... Like, I mean, no offense against Kyle Frey, but, he doesn't have quite the reputation of Johnny Velasquez or Javier Castellano or one of the Ortiz boys or Mike Smith or whoever, you know. And, they could have gone to Mike because Mike doesn't have a ride in the race. And, this could be a situation where Doug O'Neill is just... putting Kyle Frey on. Now, I'm not sure. I'm just saying what I think. There could be that he's putting Kyle Frey on just in case something goes wrong with yesterday's news and Mario Gutierrez will switch to Pieti Bianchi. Or maybe Kyle Frey will stay up north today and, Mike Smith or someone will be aboard. But, if Kyle Frey gets the opportunity, I'd love to see it.
Yep. Gets a deserved nice chance here to win a grade one. I'm kind of leaning toward if the filly runs the four, War Heroine. I think she can control the speed, is the speed of the speed in the race on paper. And certainly bred to stay and like two turns. And that would be a nice shot in the arm of some good news if Peter Miller could win that race a little later on today.
Now he wins at 21% with 2-year-olds, but this 2-year-old is coming back from the 12th of November to the 9th of December and going two turns off of the maiden win. So it'll be a true test. She won very easy first time out.
Yep.
Got a great rider. We wish them all luck, but I will look for the two. How do you say that again?
Pieti Bianchi.
Pieti Bianchi.
Thanks,
where do you go? You go to four War Heroine.
I go to the four War Heroine, gate the wire.
So now the Los Al Cash Call Futurity, 300,000 grade one. This is the last two grade ones of the year, and not only for 2-year-olds, but I believe for all ages.
Yep, I think you're right. It makes sense.
Another 5-horse field.
Yep.
Another couple of impressive maiden winners are in the one in Still Regard and the 5 McKinsey, who was an incredible winner in his first start. Stopped the clock in 1:22.3, won by 5¾, and has had 3 bullet works since. But he's got some company here. He's going to have to step it up.
He is. His stablemate, for one, is probably going to be pretty tough in there and will vie for favoritism, I would assume. And that's Solomini coming out of the BC Juvenile. We're second behind the highly regarded Good Magic from the Chad Brown barn.
The third place finisher, Bolty Horror, was reckoned to be the next coming of a far lap before he drew the outside. He had a very, very wide trip, and we will forgive that race. A great effort on Bolty Horror's part, and I can't wait for next year. Hopefully, Good Magic and Bolty Horror stay sound, and Solomini, but it'll be a great rivalry to start in the next year.
No doubt about it. Looks like there's a lot of all these characters want to kind of be on or near the early lead in here, it kind of seems like. But McKenzie's earned a 99 buyer figure on debut by Street Sense, stretching out of a Patienville mare, gonna love two turns. The one's a little interesting and Stilled Regard. They paid $1 million and change for this one for Jerry Hollendorfer. They stretched him out and he won for fun. Drayden Van Dyke on the rail. The four is an interesting horse to me, stretching out around two turns. The Ghost Zapper for Mike Makowski, pretty good trainer, second off a layoff. I know kind of won that race up at Golden Gate on the synthetic surface, but horse is bred to relish out of a desert gold mare, two turns on dirt. This is kind of a wide open race, I think, Frankie.
Now, the five-horse McKinsey is out of a Miracle Runaway model. Wasn't that Bernie Flint's filly? That was a really good filly going for the Oaks at one time.
I think you're right. And I love Patienville as a sire. I loved him as a racehorse. He'll get you kind of a sound hickory horse and gets runners. You know, McKinsey, pretty highly regarded. I think the horse is, you know, named after an executive there who passed away recently at Los Alamitos. Mike Smith, our old buddy, is going to ride that one. So that's got to count for something.
Mike was aboard in Still Regard for his first three starts, the $1 million horse on the rail.
Yep.
And he opts to go for McKinsey, who goes for Mike Pigram and Mr. Watson, Mr. Whiteman, and they are the luckiest owners, at least Mike Pigram is anyway. You know, he only paid $17,000 for Real Quiet.
Yep.
I came within a nostril of winning the Triple Crown and getting a $5 million bonus from Visa. And the owner of Captain Steve, Secret Circle. There's
Silver Bullet Day.
Silver Bullet Day, absolutely, yeah. And they only paid $170,000 for McKinsey. And he's got a stallion's pedigree to go along with his ability. Mike Smith thinks that he is a very, very good horse. And it'll be a test for him because he's got a stablemate, like you say, Solomini. And in Still Regard, and I mean, I the only horse that I can't really see has a chance would be for him, the two. He could get a piece of it if a couple of horses don't show up.
Yep.
But, the Runaway Ghost, he's by Ghost Zapper. He's the four horse owned and bred by Joe Peacock, trained by Mike Makowski, ridden by Joe Talamo.
Yep.
You have to say that. You know, he's going to be better around two turns with his pedigree.
You got to. And, I think he would be better on, you know, he's proven on dirt. He broke his maiden on the dirt and just got, you know, he beat ahead in his first start. So, you know, he will relish the extra ground. You know, it's just there's, you know, I hate, you know, McKenzie's going to get hammered at the windows. And he, you know, he's a nice colt, but he, you know, looks like the one that, you know, I know, and the three can rate a little bit, but I think McKenzie's just going to be able to sit off just what it looks like on paper will be a hot pace and just kind of roll right on by. I don't know.
You know,
I would be.
He went, so he was kind of relatively unknown first time out because he went off at 7-2.
Exactly. I don't know. I can't really go against the five, but I would try to use maybe the four in an exotic play, and the three as well looks kind of tough. It's it's going to be chalky in the short field.
And maybe the one being, two turnies by Arch, and, he sprinted twice, and he ran against St. Patrick's Day. I believe that's someone's full brother. I think it might be American Pharaohs, is it? And Mourinho, second time out, that's also from the Bob Baffert barn. Then third time out, around two turns, he showed up. He won by 4.25 lengths. And just because Mike Smith goes for McKinsey, you know, doesn't say that in Still Regard doesn't have a big chance.
Absolutely. So a lot of different ways to go in here. We're going to take another little break and go to a commercial. And we will be back here momentarily on Riders Up.
Coolmore America's Uncle Mo continued his remarkable start at stud when Motown won the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at Del Mar 2 weekends ago. Motown is Uncle Mo's fourth Grade 1 winner and one of 14 graded stakes winners. All in all, Uncle Mo has sired 33 stakes winners from three crops of racing age. That is an unprecedented haul for a young stallion. Back in his racing days, Uncle Mo was a brilliant two-year-old that excelled around one turn at three. Another horse that fits that description is Practical Joke, who was third in last week's Grade 1 Cigar Mile before retiring to Ashford Stud. For more info on Uncle Mo and Practical Joke and other Ashford stallions, go to www.coolmore.com.
Again on Riders Up here on ESPN Radio in Lexington, Kentucky. We're fortunate to have Michelle Yu, all-around racing personality and vice president with Bet America, to give us an update on the tragic situation that took place on Thursday afternoon at San Luis Rey Training Center with a brush fire that consumed several barns, some horses, and updated from me to now, maybe one horseman, I think, was hospitalized. Michelle, thank you very much for joining us today, and we have heavy hearts. We're thinking about you here in Kentucky.
Yeah, thank you for having us, and it's really been amazing, and the support that you know, has poured out. We try to get down there with trailers, but it's just impossible. So I came down to Del Mar around 7:30 last night, and there was about 100 volunteers just kind of standing by waiting for, you know, more horses to get there. And once they did, it was all hands on deck, and, you know, it was crazy. I was expecting chaos when I saw the videos of what had happened at San Luis Rey, and I was just expecting the horses to be traumatized. And they climbed off the van like champs, and they walked into fresh stalls with a whole bunch of strangers. I mean, you know, we pulled stakes placed horses, stakes winners, grade one horses off like the tiniest mule vans in some cases. And they hopped right out and started eating and, you know, guzzling water. But within an hour, I'd say the majority of them were really calm. And, you know, we had people looking at them constantly to see who they were, who they belonged to, vet, does anyone need vet work? And I myself looked at, I would say, close to 200 horses last night, and I only had to call the vet for 5. Wow. So I think that in the grand scheme of things for what was going on, that's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely. That's crazy. I saw a lot of those videos on social media as well, and it just looked like chaos. And really, we all know that people on the backside of racetracks, very tight-knit community, they love their horses. And it actually sounds like the people, you know, in and around northern San Diego kind of jumped in. And it's always nice to see, you know, people working together. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a tragedy for that to happen. But to have, you know, maybe my latest count was 25 horses were lost, but out of the 400 to 500 that are stabled there, it's pretty amazing. And you to say that you only had a couple that needed vet work is just incredible to me.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, you know, there were still about 100 horses last night. I left Del Mar about 1:30 in the morning, and there were still about 100 horses unaccounted for. And I know this morning I have been constantly on the phone with people that are out at Moody Creek or other places that are looking for the tattoo numbers and pulling them. And I'm able to, you know, find out who they are and notify the connection. So everyone is really working excellently as a team to make sure. And now there's, you know, lists in place. And as soon as we find a horse, we are telling, you know, I'm calling Doug or Pete or whoever it is that, you know, it's their horse and they know now, okay, good, this horse is accounted for. So there's been a ton of running lists, and it's been, everyone has been just super, super helpful, which is obviously fantastic. And I think that in this time, it's almost the horsemen themselves that are needing the most help. You know, a lot of the guys that live at San Luis Rey walked out of there with nothing but their shirts on their backs,
right,
and don't have anything because San Luis Rey is still closed down, so they can't even get in. So a lot of people chipping in right now to try and get them toiletries, clothes, blankets, you know, like, I mean, at midnight last night, there's guys unloading straw and hay from West Coast Feed, and, you know, the grooms are there getting their horses moved around, settled in, fed, cleaned up. So they're working hard with nothing.
And I mean, it just sounded like the fire from all accounts was, it was like so started so fast, and it was just a tinderbox with the wind and the dry conditions that there was, you know, letting horses out of dropping webbings and just letting them run out into all around the facility was really the only thing that they can do. And there's many heroes to be.
I think it was just the speed that it happened. Like Cliff Seiss told me that they were prepared. The fire was close. He had a van there, and he said, oh, we'll load 4 or 5, throw some hay on here, and we'll get out. There was no rush. And he walked into the barn and picked up a horse. He put him in the trailer, and he came out of the trailer, and their entire barn was on fire.
Wow.
The wind had shifted and it moved the embers to there's large palm trees that cover like an entire front row of barns at San Luis Rey. And
right,
those palm tree husks ignited and then they just started dropping and the barns were mostly made of wood.
Right.
So it just dropped right on. And Cliff said from thinking I have time to load 5 to get in the one, he said he ran and he could barely get all of them loose.
Wow.
He said a lot of them ran out, but you know, some of them that died, like, just were so scared they couldn't leave their stalls, no matter, you know, someone's opening the doors, freeing them. So you know, the guys at Pete's and at Phil's that let those horses out. Richard Baltus, his team did an excellent job. They labeled all their horses as they were turning them out. So,
wow.
I mean, you know, really helpful in those situations because they came in and we were able to super, you know, easily identify them.
Nice.
And find out who they went to. But, I mean, I felt terrible for, you know, Cliff lost, like, 40 years he's been training. He lost every saddle and bridle he's accumulated in his barn. You know, his barn's gone.
That's so unbelievable.
You know, it's terrible right now. And I know Joe Herrick is currently hospitalized. He was burned trying to save his barn. And Martine Bellick is in an induced coma right now. She was burned over 50% of her body trying to save horses as well. So, you know, there's tons of people right now that really need help. And overall, while we're identifying the horses, the majority of them, our racehorses, are safe.
That is very important and great news and optimistic kind of upside to just a tragic story. And speaking of help, how can people, is there some way that people out of state, what would be the best way in your opinion to help or
yeah,
give
definitely.
Donations or send?
Santa Anita has set up an official GoFundMe. And so that's GoFundMe/ Thoroughbred Care.
Okay.
Little LRF Cares and Karma have also they're, you know, legitimate. We know who they are. And you can designate when you make a donation through them that it's specifically for fire.
Right.
And they will help out either in horse care or people care. And also CTHF, so California Thoroughbred Horsemen's Fund, CTHFcares.org is an excellent place to go. And they will distribute money helping some of the people like Martine and Joe.
Very good. Thank you very much for that. And I'm going to get just one quick question before I let you go. I know you've had a long night and probably a long day today. How about the fire? Have they had any luck in containing it? I know that the conditions were kind of prohibitive to that. Have they had any luck? I know there's been a lot of people trying to help get that thing under control.
You know, what's so crazy is because we're based pretty much right there on the ocean, there was like no smoke. I mean, we drove right by the fire and didn't see it. I don't know what the containment is. And last night there was a couple of people asking like, what's the situation on the fire? Right now the barns at San Luis Rey are still smoking, but I'm not 100% sure on the current status of the fire because we've just been focusing on reuniting horses with their handlers.
Right. Right. Michelle, you thank you very much for your time and our thoughts and prayers are with you. And, best of luck with anything. We'll do our best
to
help you out.
Thanks, John. Much appreciated.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
That was Michelle Yu. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back here on Riders Up.
Coolmore America's Uncle Mo continued his remarkable start at stud when Motown won the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby at Del Mar 2 weekends ago. Motown is Uncle Mo's 4th Grade 1 winner and one of 14 graded stakes winners. All in all, Uncle Mo has sired 33 stakes winners from 3 crops of racing age. That is an unprecedented haul for a young stallion. Back in his racing days, Uncle Mo was a brilliant 2-year-old that excelled around one turn at 3. Another horse that fits that description is Practical Joke, who was 3rd in last week's Grade 1 Cigar Mile before retiring to Ashford Stud. For more info on Uncle Mo and Practical Joke and other Ashford stallions, go to www.coolmore.com.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio. I'm very proud, very honored to have one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life on the phone right now, Bert Bacharach. How are you, Bert?
You're flattering me.
Oh, you deserve to be flattered, my friend.
You're making my day, Frank.
Oh, you know, we've known each other a long time now, Bert.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. You know, before we start on this interview, I just want to tell you that in the Super Derby today, which was one of the biggest races run on today's card, now it's a little bit cheaper, but the favorite is Out of an Afternoon Delight's mare.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the odds?
8-5.
Odds are 8-5.
Yeah.
And they're not Louisiana bred horses. Is anybody, right?
Yeah, it's anyone's race. In fact, he's not a Louisiana bred
open company.
No, but he did stand in
Louisiana.
Yeah.
And he's still alive, right?
Very very much on the old farm and
old friends.
Yeah, old friends.
Oh, that's right. That's really cool.
Now, Bart, your very first job in the music business, you told me one time, was at a studio. And who are the guys that you are working with?
Well, my first job was at like a famous famous music.
Yeah.
Which was Paramount Pictures, publishing firm in New York, and it was the famous Brill Building that everybody, 1619 Broadway, and I remember being on the sixth floor, and the fifth floor, Jerry Moss worked in the stock room of a publishing firm named George Paxton.
Yeah.
I think Moss was making $60 a week.
Wow.
I was making $50 a week.
Wow.
That's how we first met.
Yeah.
And Jerry left that firm and went out to California and became a very good promotion man. He actually worked on Dion's first record on Don't Make Me Over.
Wow.
And did a great job.
Yeah. Of course, the owner of A&M Records and Zenyatta, for those of you who don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Merv Griffin was also there, wasn't he?
Merv Griffin early, yeah. Merv Griffin was, you know, when you look back at Merv, besides being a good friend, he was as good as it gets interviewing anybody on the...
television.
Yeah, on his show, because he listened. He wasn't thinking about what he was going to say next. He was listening to what you had to say, and he was a perfect host.
Yeah. Now, you were in the winner's circle at Del Mar a couple of weeks ago. How was that?
Well, it took a while, so yeah.
Yeah. That happens in this game, you know, Bert.
Yeah. But we didn't have a bad meet. I mean, actually, for us, we ran three times, three different horses, and finished first, finished second, and finished third, so...
Not a bad meet.
That's better than what we've done.
Sure, yeah.
No complaints, because, you know, like when Jane, my wife, came into my life, would become my wife, she first came from Aspen.
Yeah.
She, you know, didn't know much about racing. And, you know, she thought every year was going to be like that first year together.
Yeah.
Soul of the Matter goes to the Kentucky Derby, and then next year Afternoon Delights goes to the Kentucky Derby.
She thought this was an easy game.
Yeah, and then like maybe 3 years, 4 years later, we're trying to win races with 12-5 claimers.
And so you had also had Heartlight Number One, and she was the Eclipse Award winner, right?
She did win for Best Filly of the Year. That was she was an incredible horse.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere that you actually didn't write music for, I guess, a while she was running. You were so caught up in her career.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and because we wrote that song, Turn On Your Heartlight, I was married to Carol Bayer Sager at the time, and we had written the song, Heartlight, that Neil Diamond recorded. This huge hit.
Wow.
So, you know, I knew nothing at the time. Education with Charlie Whittingham was he was my friend. Yeah. I learned nothing. He showed me nothing.
Yeah, spent a lot of money.
He just said, one day he said, "Where'd you get that condition book, boy?"
That's great. Yeah, show up with your wallet open and keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut. Exactly. I remember one of the greatest sayings that Charlie ever had was some guy asked him, he said, "How much do you charge a day to train, Charlie?" And Charlie says, "Well, it's 65 a day if I train him, 110 if you do."
Charlie was a very good friend. I remember running an Argentine horse that we had that we'd brought up with a couple of terrible Argentines. This wasn't a bad one, just okay.
Yeah.
First level allowance race at Hollywood Park. And Charlie, and as I say, solid friend. He'd come to my concerts in Lake Tahoe and we drink and, you know, carry on. And he lived in the next house to us in Del Mar. Charlie, yeah. We're in this race. What kind of chance? What are our best shots here? Do we have a good one? And he said, boy, if you're in the race, you have a chance.
Yeah, that's what I had.
And then I find out that he's given that horse to his brother Joe, to Charlie Wacker,
yeah,
Fred Astaire. Everybody's in on the horse except me.
That's not right.
Hey, you can't be telling your neighbors. Come on. Now, Bert, are you still touring?
Yes.
Yes?
That's awesome.
You know, there was a period where we took off with a broken arm from last summer. But we came back and did our first concert back. These are concerts that we had to make up in the fall. And we played Royce Hall. And that was very emotional. Get back on stage again after 6 months, 7 months off. And then we played San Francisco, and we've done seven concerts so far.
Really? You are just the most incredible man. Your love for the music industry is, you know, no one can compare to you.
Well, thank you, Frank. There are some exceptional people out there.
Well, I know. Well, I guess you're at the top with many, I would say. But in 2012, you received the Library of Congress Gershon Prize, where you got to play for the President Obama in the White House. How was that?
Wow.
That was incredible, yeah. And got to sit next to him in the very small room while Stevie Wonder sang my songs and Sheryl Crow. It doesn't get better than that.
No.
Because, you see, that's a great honor to get the Gershwin Award for me. That more than, like I've won the 3 Academy Awards, but with an Academy Award, you are getting, you're getting honored for one specific work.
Right.
It may be for a song, maybe for the score, like with Butch Cassidy, it was the song and it was the score.
Yeah.
But the Gershwin Award honors your whole span of your music.
Yeah.
All you've written, not just one specific. So it was a great time, and having the kids with me and family, that was very, very important.
Yeah. And who are the other winners of the Gershwin Award?
Well, you've certainly got Carole King, and you've got Paul McCartney.
Wow.
Paul Simon?
Definitely Paul Simon.
And Stevie Wonder.
You got it.
Yeah. And that are the only people to ever get the Gershwin Award.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this year it's very interesting. They're giving the Gershwin Award not to a songwriter, but to Tony Bennett.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
As a performer who performed and made so many songs what they became popular. Let me not leave out Diana Krall, because she was also on the program for me on the Gershwin Award. And she's just great. So it was one of those moments in time, you know, that always be grateful for and always remember and never forget where it all started, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it, $50 a week, you know?
Yeah. What would you say to people that, when you look back upon your life and you think about the most important thing to let everyone know, a bit of advice on how to live life, what would you think it is, Bert?
Well, you got to stay in the moment, you know, and appreciate every. We don't do this when we're in our 30s, 20s.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, and we're chasing our career, or chasing our business, so we don't have time for time spent with children. For me, it was late having these two kids with Jane.
Yeah.
But that's magic time. And
so
having having Oliver on the road. Yeah. He's 24 now.
Yeah.
And he's been on the road the last 4 years. He's learned how to play 6-7 songs.
Yeah.
And it's not how well he plays. He plays fine.
Yeah.
It's the joy of having that contact and being together and that feeling that, and you know, we've had just great moments together.
Yeah.
You can't manufacture that. You can't make it happen either.
No, sir.
Yeah. Now, when Oliver only learned the piano when he was 19, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did some on the computer. Then I'd teach him a chord a day, but I never pushed him.
Yeah.
Never, you know, should do this, to take a lesson here. Let him make the decision. He'll take a lesson. He'll take a lesson.
Yeah.
And Raleigh is this dream girl who's back in South Carolina. She competed very well, jumping this summer when she was out here.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Huh. And she's in her last year of college.
Yeah.
It happened so fast.
It's happened so fast. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. Now, what is it about racing and compared to music? What gave you the thrill about horse racing? What kept you in it?
Well, number one, you can't control it.
Yeah.
Music, maybe I can control what goes on in the studio.
Yeah.
And also, it taught me to not deeply fall in love with a horse. That's very, very risky. Because
they don't last.
They don't last.
Yeah.
And I know so of them that broke my heart, you know, when she broke down before the Pacific Classic.
Yeah.
And I think we would have beaten Cigar in that race, but could-haves don't matter.
Yeah.
The other third thing about it is you are, you know, you don't own the horse. You got to go to a position of being like a custodian, you know?
Yeah, certainly.
And be very privileged, like having a painting, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You just have custody of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's much more sensible, and you got to remind yourself,
you know,
the days. My horse can beat your horse. The match races, no.
Yeah. Huh. Now, what's your favorite moment in horse racing?
It may have been a race that we didn't win, and we almost won the first World Cup in Dubai. Where?
Now, were you there? Did you go?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And we came from out of the pack, and Gary Stevens rode, and we got right.
You got your head in front of him.
Yeah, and then
it was a great race.
Yeah,
and then something happened to Cigar. He just kind of like grew. He got larger, you know.
Yeah.
And he had that thing left. But so many of these horses come back because Soul of the Matter broke down at Del Mar after that World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Cigar never was the horse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, so turning tables completely now, you had the great pleasure of working with Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah. And can you tell me about, you told me about him going in the bathroom and coming out?
Yes. Michael, it was the time that I was married to Carol Bayer Sager.
Yeah.
And on Carol's album that she was doing for Neil Bogart, where we collectively wrote all the songs together. And she was doing a duet with Michael. And I had written the a nice song. I like the song. I had written the orchestration and was working with the band when Michael arrived at the studio. And he heard it a totally different way. And he took the guitars and they went into the bathroom and away from the musicians, away from the string players and everything, and just worked with a guitarist and came up with a totally different concept for the song in a very and it was way better than any concept that I had on the song.
Wow, that is great. Bert, it's been a great pleasure, and it's been, tell Jane I send my love and all your kids, your beautiful kids, and you are the greatest, my friend.
Frankie, you're my friend.
Yeah,
thank you very much for your time.
Yeah,
thank you both.
Bert Bacharach, everyone. So, John, that's it for another week. We've had a wonderful show. Bert Bacharach, Sophie Doyle, Bob Elliston.
A wide range.
Wide range.
of folks, for certain. I mean, that was really cool talking to Bert Bacharach, and had some great, pretty acute memories there of the Dubai World Cup. That was a great race.
Oh, great race.
I mean, you run at his head in front.
Yeah, definitely at his head in front.
No shame in that at all, and it's really cool to kind of get some of his, you know, background on how he got interested in race.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in the game a long time. I learned a lot, actually, listening to him.
Yeah, but he's been a great man, and he's had some life, incredible life.
Oh my
God. He's voted one of the most beautiful people by People Magazine in the world.
He was married to Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson, yeah.
I don't know, worked together with Marlene Dietrich, was reading. I don't know if they were married or not. I don't believe so, but I mean, like you open up like the Wikipedia on Bert Bacharach, and it's like, you better pack lunch.
And the woman that he's married to these days, Jane, is the most wonderful woman you've ever met.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, he sounded really good, too. I mean, for,
88.
88. I was going to say he's no spring chicken, but he's got, like, the coolest voice.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very Southern cow.
Let's try and get out of the show using his voice.
Let's just try to get out of the show.
So, all right. So, thank you very much, everyone, for listening.
Thanks a lot for tuning in.
Sunday morning. And again, we wish everyone in Florida, we're praying for you, and hope everyone is... okay. And
stay safe.
All right, we'll see you next week.